broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, teaming up live on your radio with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, as always. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. This is indeed the broadcast for March the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. And yes, indeed, we're convinced the checks and balances put in place and a brilliant move by our founding fathers, one of the great solutions for restoration. You see, we reject a revolution because of the hard work, the blood, tears, sweat, honor, sacred fortunes, and more. Sacred honor and fortunes and more of the founding fathers. We don't need a revolution, folks. They don't turn out very well. Go study history if you want to prove the point. But we do believe in a peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. We were not live yesterday. A congratulations goes out to my daughter. She had a baby, and it came 6 weeks early, so it was premature. And 5 pounds, 4 ounce baby boy, delighted about everything except for, you know, a little concerning the baby was early. And there's a little bit of development of the lungs issue they're working through. But other than that, mom is doing well and baby's doing well. So that's fantastic news. A little bit of a setback, but my daughter called at 4 a.m. and said, I'm going into labor and it's way early and we were worried. Can you come and help us? And of course, we believe in family more than almost anything. Of course, it's God, family, country. And this radio program is to promote all three. But I take my father, my grandfather responsibilities even more sacred or special than the radio program, even though I believe the radio program to be absolutely vital. Not because I'm on the radio, not because I'm important, but because we talk about principles that are so critical to the preservation of this wonderful country that we live in, which really allows us to worship God and liberty, which allows us to celebrate the fundamental unit of society, the family, on a continual basis, and to absolutely double down in defense of traditional God-given roles of male and females and husbands and wives and parents and children, and the list goes on and on and on and on. But we just jumped in the car and went to my daughter's aid, and all is well. We're so grateful for that. But as a result, we missed the broadcast, and I had geared up for a tremendous breakdown of the speech Donald Trump gave to Congress. And the American people were able to listen in, as did we. And we've got a lot of breakdown details on that. But a couple of things first, before we get there. Anyway, a congratulations goes out to my daughter and her delightful husband. Great work, folks. We're delighted to be grandparents, and we're delighted to render their aid whenever the need arises. That's what we do. Right, folks? You know, on the radio, we're the same as we are in person, behind the scenes. Sam is typically a little bit over the top, as he always is. Kurt Crosby's more reserved and careful, and some would say smarter, and that's probably true. Nevertheless, we are who we are on the air as well as in person. We're pretty much the same people. We truly live the things that we talk about. We believe in them. We work towards them behind the scenes as well as publicly. We live the same lives publicly and private. And all I'm telling you is that that's what we did. And that's what will always happen. If I have a family need, if Kurt has a family need, we will jump to those things first. The only time it gets a little out of control is when Kurt Crosby wants to shovel snow when he's supposed to be on the radio, that kind of stuff. Anyway, we got to work through some of those things. But nevertheless, there's times when we do have business responsibilities, times when we do have family responsibilities, etc. And those are absolutely important to us. And we will take those things seriously. And, you know, we do have day jobs. And believe it or not, we fund Liberty News Radio with our hard-earned dollars. We don't just, you know, sit around like rock stars and take everybody else's money. We literally put in more money than we ever ask anybody else to put in. And I don't bring that up to talk about, you know, our importance or, oh, we do so much for this or that. I bring it up to let you know that we're for real, folks, and we don't take the blessings of liberty and the freedom to broadcast lightly. We don't take your funding and your support, including financial, lightly. We consider them sacred funds and do the very best we can to be wise stewards of those funds. All right, enough of that personal stuff, but I wanted to let you in on some personal things so you understand what's going on. So we're a day late and a dollar short on a couple of these tidbits in the news, but they're so worth talking about. And we need so much time to discuss them that I just jettisoned Monday's recap forget it. Skip it. Next. Tuesday, we didn't do a show, but today we're ready, sparking on all cylinders. And we want to start out by welcoming Kirk Crosby to the broadcast. Hello, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome, sir. We've talked a little bit on Monday about White House advisor is taken to task after she makes herself comfortable on the Oval Office couch while wearing high heels as Trump hosts leaders of black colleges. That's the setting. And we talked about how, you know what, she was just merely trying to take photos of Donald Trump working with Americans, but how they always turn it into a racial discussion. You know, somehow, Kellyanne is disrespecting the Oval Office or the White House by wearing her heels and getting on the couch. She wasn't sitting in a very dignified position for a lady. They started there. But the vitriol, the abuse, the hostility, the anger, the hatred, the racism ratcheted up big time since our last broadcast. Headline, quote, "It's only a matter of time till Kellyanne Conway called racist because of her White House couch photo." So the Daily Caller and many other news organizations break this down in detail. Kellyanne Conway called racist because of the White House couch photo. DailyCaller.com. You can go check that out. But here's the summation. What's this guy's name, Kurt? Mark Lamont Hill? Is that this guy's name? You might want to look this guy up on Wikipedia because I know you don't know who he is. And neither do I. He's some goofball, host or whatever. And anyway, he suggested that Kellyanne Conway was racist because of the way she positioned herself on the couch when Donald Trump met with black leaders of colleges. It shows disrespect to minorities, goes the statements. I mean, how dare her have her high heels tucked under her while on the couch? She wouldn't do that if it wasn't folks from the historic black college community. Now, that if I've said enough when I say the black college community, what on earth do we have a black college community for? What if we had a black or a white college community? How would that all work out well? But anyway, many accused her of violating decorum and saying that if it was to happen with leaders of state or other organizations, she would never behave that way. But since it's the blacks and since she's a white female racist, then she behaved that way. Others standing up for Kellyanne says, "What are you talking about?" She contorted herself a little bit to try to get a wonderful photo with Donald, working with these black leaders. So in a series of tweets, they're now these racists are claiming it's hard to believe that Kellyanne Conway would have been sitting like this if the president would have been meeting with the NRA and or white evangelical leaders. Anyway, this author, black activist, I guess he's a bet host. Anyway, namely disrespect for the black community.
You know what bet is, right? Black no. Entertainment TV.
Well, that sounds racist as all get out. I'm going to bet there are a bunch of racist
thugs.
There's no
WET, or is there?
No, I said bet.
I know, but there's no WET.
What are you talking about?
It's like the NAACP and then
you mean there's no white entertainment network?
That's right.
Watching the blacks attack the whites as racist is white entertainment network almost, it seems. But anyway, it goes on and on and on, Kurt. They say we're concerned about her posture. Now, Ms. Conway told the Post, let's see, which Post is this? The Washington Post, that the press ought to focus on the substance of the event and less on the photo. Do you see how racist she is, Kurt? Just imagine saying focus on the real issues, people.
Just imagine that.
What do you think of that?
Certainly seems, seems right on the point to me.
Anyway, bottom line is she was doing her very best to document things so the media got it right, and now they just sideshow and attack her again. And the sad part is, folks, these people don't believe for one second that Kellyanne Conway meant to disrespect the black community the Black Entertainment Network, the traditionally black college community. There was no intent there at all. Kellyanne Conway wanted to get photos to document things, right? And this just shows how off the rails, how hate-filled and abusive and hostile and racist the Black Entertainment Network is. This goofball, what's his name again, Kurt? This black guy?
I didn't get the info yet on that. I didn't look him up.
Oh, too bad. I'll do it during the break.
At least to me, it's just sad to see what they're doing.
I'll look it up, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause on your radio.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, it just goes to show how out of the mainstream Sam and Kurt really are. Mark Lamont Hill. Now, I don't know why he has two names like that. I don't know if Lamont's his middle name or if the guy's just like a chick and he took on somebody else's name. I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway, Mark Lamont Hill, though, worked for CNN. He worked as a political contributor for the Fox News Channel from 2007 to 2009 before he got fired. He appeared on The O'Reilly Factor, Huckabee and Hannity. Prior to Fox, he was a commentator on CNN and MSNBC, as well as Court TV. He was, a contributor to the Star Jones talk show. He replaced Ed Gordon, as host of the syndicated talk show Our World with Black Enterprise. In May 2012, he joined the Huffington Post as the one of the hosts of HuffPost Live. He's a professor. He's an activist. He graduated from Carver High School. That's a public school in Philadelphia. He was born in Pennsylvania. Then he attended Morehouse College. He spent his time hanging out, getting in trouble. He dropped out of Morehouse College when he was a freshman. But he finished his undergraduate at Temple University, where he received his BS degree in education and Spanish. He later earned a, quote, PhD at the University of Pennsylvania. Anyway, the guy's quite well known, so the fact that I don't know him very well is just shows my ignorance to some degree. However, this guy's literally gone off and made this his big, big push to Kellyanne Conway, attacking her for being a racist. And my point is, Kellyanne Conway's wise to just ignore this and focus on the issues. When are we going to talk about that Donald Trump met with these black leaders to represent all Americans? I was merely trying to get a photo of it. When are we going to return to the real issues, says Kellyanne. She's right. There you have it, Kurt. Any other tidbits on this?
Not that I can see.
All right, next story of interest. Mr. Joe Manchin's in the news. Now, you know who Joe Manchin is, don't you, Kurt?
Is he the guy that makes the mansions?
Yeah, that's the guy. Now that we got it, good. Now that everybody's caught up, I'll just continue on. Now, the guy's a senator, Kurt.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
Senator Joe Manchin, mm-hmm. Do you know him?
No. Mm-mm.
Really? All right. Well, anyway, Senator Joe Manchin, he's getting beat up. He's called a racist, Kurt, because he, the guy met with Breitbart, Kurt. Just imagine a senator meeting with Breitbart News.
That's why he's called the racist.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
He told MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell that, well, I talk to everybody regardless of their political beliefs. You see, they pointed to a meeting that the West Virginia Democrat met with Breitbart. They say Joe's one of the few Democrats that'll meet with Breitbart. Manchin responded and said, it's very interesting when they, meaning Breitbart, explain their views. And I talked to all people on the right, the left, and in the middle. What I like about Breitbart, he said, is they have an interesting take. It's different from what the mainstream would be. He continued by explaining that he will talk to all people on the right, the left, and the middle, and anybody who wants to. He said, I came here to serve. And I came here not to be served. And if I can't go home and explain something, then I can't vote for it. And I don't understand where everybody is in this nation. But I want to be able to explain why I voted for or against something. And I want to be able to explain the landscape as it is. So I'm going to meet with everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, we're starting to turn the corner on this race issue. They've cried racism so far, so long, so many times to so many people, to so many groups, to so many situations that it's just laughable now. Kellyanne, because she knelt on the couch to get a photo while Donald Trump met with black college leaders, was trying to turn into a racial issue. Joe Manchin meeting with Breitbart. Now he's a racist. And Joe's just like, you're crazy. I talk to everybody. Kellyanne's like, get on with the real news. Folks, their lies of racism have no legs anymore, Kurt. And really what everybody's done in the last 5 years or so has followed the leadership of James Edwards when he wrote the book Racism Schmacism. Don't waste your time. They know you're not a racist. They just want to call you that to derail the issue. Let's get back to the real discussions. And James Edwards' book, thepoliticalcesspool.org, is where you can get a copy, is so clear and so well documented of this fact, Kurt. It's beyond imagination. But since he wrote the book, people get it. People aren't falling for it anymore, Kurt. They're just not. Now imagine that. Now Donald Trump said something as we lead into this huge press conference or speaking to Congress event that Donald Trump had Donald makes a statement that you could say is racist too, Kurt, but they're not even calling him racist for this anymore. They used to all the time, but they've lost the, quote, racist mojo. That ought to be a headline for a book. They've lost racist mojo. But anyway, here's the deal, Kurt. Trump, quote, my job is not to represent the world. My job is to represent the United States of America. What do you think of that, Kurt?
Whoa, he's got real trouble there, huh?
I mean, he just, you know, he just whacked out.
I mean, imagine a president of the United States of America thinking he's supposed to represent the United States of America. I mean, that's just over the top. One now, more little point real quick on the whole meeting with the historically black colleges, presidents. You know, I guess that what they did, one of the things they did was move the funding that comes from the Education Department over from the Department of Education. Now it's coming right from the White House. I don't know how they, I mean, basically they said that was an executive order to do that. And so that was one of the things that was celebrated in this. I'm just reading from a USA Today report.
And by the way, I stand against that, Kurt. Because
yeah,
I don't believe
me too,
that can happen congressionally. Remember, the House is responsible for all expenditures and the budget and everything. I don't like that manipulation. I don't like those executive orders anyway. No, I'm willing to use them to unwind a lot of what's been done under executive order. It's fitting that an executive order reverses those decisions and puts things properly in the hands of Congress. But I have a hesitation when we start moving money around by executive order, Kurt.
Anyway, the point, at least to me, I mean, imagine if it was done the other way around. They would say, man, if Trump quit having the presidency hand out the money or, you know, do that kind of stuff, then they'd say, see how racist he is. He's against the black colleges. But they it went the other way. And then Betsy DeVos, you know, the Education Department lady, you know, said that, hey, these HBCUs, remember, that's historically black college and university, they have always been more than simply institutions of higher learning. You've long represented a challenge to the status quo, starting by providing a necessary opportunity to African Americans following the Civil War. So here she is bringing up the idea that, hey, that it was a choice that people, you know, at least in this case, African-Americans or people of color could go to college that way. And so she's pointing that out. But they said, oh, you know, you're just bringing up your same old thing. But I think she had a point. Don't you?
A valid point. And why don't we talk about that? Why do we just attack her? Why don't we openly discuss those realities? Because they know they'll lose the battle. They know they'll lose the argument. See, they have this Lamont goofball. Mark Lamont, what's his name, Kurt?
I don't know.
You're
MLJ,
supposed to remember that guy.
Something
so that, you know,
like
no,
that.
It's not MLJ. Sorry. Come
okay,
on, Kurt.
Sorry.
You think the guy's like Martin Luther King Jr. Jr., don't you? All right.
Well, I mean, it's
anyway,
pretty
bottom line is we need to stand up and discuss these issues and not just accept the attacks, huh?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
A measure that would require state courts to inform jurors of their legal right and duty to judge both the facts and the law of a criminal case has advanced in the Utah legislature. House Bill 332, sponsored by State Representative Mark Roberts, would require that a jury be fully informed of the potential sentence for a guilty verdict and its power to find a defendant not guilty when a guilty verdict would be manifestly unjust, explains the 10th Amendment Center. Outside of New Hampshire, jurors are not informed of their authority to decide whether the law being applied is legitimate, and in most trials, they are not given information about the severity of a potential sentence, or even if the offense is a misdemeanor or a felony. Discretion is available for police and prosecutors, and we argue it should be for juries as well, observes Connor Boyack of the Libertas Institute, which supports the bill. Jurors have rights of which they are not made aware, and this is detrimental to the cause of justice. Specifically, jurors can determine a person not guilty of a crime they may have actually committed if the particular circumstances of the case create a manifest injustice. The bill's provision requiring jurors to learn of potential punishments is also of great importance. In most jurisdictions, jurors in non-capital cases are not told what the likely punishment will be if the defendant is convicted, wrote Judge Alex Kaczynski of the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit in a Georgetown Law Journal. In fact, we tell jurors not to consider punishment in deciding guilt. I don't understand why this is appropriate. Jurors should be told the gravity of the decision they are making so they can take it into account in deciding whether to convict or acquit. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
I smoke because it's a habit. It's very hard to quit. I've tried.
My wife smokes. It's not allowed in the home. It's not allowed around my children. I just know it isn't good.
My husband hates that I smoke, and I smoke outside.
It irritates her a little bit, but I think she sees and understands what I'm trying to get across to her, that it's not only bad to her, but it's bad to my three beautiful daughters and my two sons.
My dad gets upset with my mom because she smokes and he doesn't, and whenever my mom goes and smokes, she has to go smoke outside.
I don't think my mom should smoke because it's really bad for you, and it could hurt you really bad.
I do think there is a correlation between parents and kids. The parent smokes, the kids think it's okay for them to smoke.
Sometimes, all you need is a small reason to quit.
Yeah, I love my mom very much, but I still wish she'd stop smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, Sam and Kurt, news the networks refuse to use. Man, there's so much to cover in this speech Donald Trump gave. And there's so much I loved about it. And there are several things that concern me about it. The first thing that Donald did is he swore to destroy ISIS. I don't know if you saw this, Kurt. Trump reiterates promise to extinguish ISIS in his speech to Congress. Did you see this?
Well, I know that in his speech, if you don't, Sam, and you're the president, if you don't come and you say, hey, we're going to get rid of those guys, then you are, some weak need, et cetera, or whatever. But, at least on this whole idea of if there's a bad guy out there, and I don't know which one it is, it's smart to just send in one, group of guys to get the one bad guy, I think, instead of blowing up all of Iraq or something.
Understood. Now, my problem isn't that we're going to get rid of ISIS. We ought to reject and do everything we can to get rid of terrorism everywhere. I agree with that. However, the fact is we've been funding, training, and arming terrorists for literally decades. All right? That's number one that you got to get across to the American people. We have been arming, training, and funding terrorists and enemies of liberty for decades, folks. And that's the first thing we got to do and quit spending so much money on the military and on foreign aid. And some would say, Sam, you're just soft on things. No, I'm not. What I want to do is spend the money wisely. I want to make America walk softly, but carry a big stick, prepare for war, but plan for and focus on peace. And I want to walk with a big stick and speak softly. And I want to have a humble foreign policy like George Washington and others advocated for. And I want to keep our nose clean. I don't want to have foreign entanglements that create all kinds of problems. However, the problem that I have with what Donald said, and I'm okay with him saying I want to destroy ISIS off the face of the earth. I get it. I agree. The problem and why that's so scary to me is the next statement that Donald made related to that, which is this, Kurt. Trump promises to eliminate limits on defense spending. You okay with that, Kurt?
Not really. I mean, in my opinion, we don't need to just have Katie bar the door, you know, no limits. But, you know, the one thing I do know is that he's, you know, at least compared to the other ones so far, a lot more careful about, hey, you know, like Air Force One shouldn't just be unlimited spending. You know, I mean,
and at that's great news.
We got some good parts on the other areas, you know.
Yeah, that's right. But I'm trying to, you know, rather than just say how the good parts he has, I'm trying to be fair and break it down. Again, I take no prisoners. I focus on issues and truth. And when Trump's right, I'm going to praise him. And you're praising him for things that are right for you to praise him for, Kurt. But we can't ignore these other issues because there's an opportunity to teach. And there's an opportunity to create appropriate opposition where we can say, Donald, we support you getting rid of ISIS. But we can't have unlimited spending. So he wants to reject that sequester. It's one of the largest increases of defense spending in history. I'm not for the largest increase in history, Kurt. Our military will be given the resources that its great warriors so richly deserve. Now, again, this is kind of a problem, Kurt, because I support giving our troops what they need to defend America. But I'm not really interested in unlimited funding for our great warriors. There's a big difference in language there. I support defending America, and I support giving those who decide to serve and who are willing to put themselves in harm's way for America, and they deserve a kudos and an appreciation from the American people. There's no doubt about it. But when do we appreciate proper defense of the freest country in the world, a job that's horrible but necessary, versus when do we cross the line and say any money is okay, war is good, our great warriors? When do we become a warlike people, and when do we cross that line and lose God's blessings, Kurt, would be my question. I think it's serious to discuss. I think it's important. Donald also noted this calls for one of the largest increases in defense spending in U.S. history. I'm not comfortable with that. So, Donald, I understand that you're trying to score points with Congress, that you're trying to, you know, set the stage for working together. I get it. And I support our training and our readiness. And I have a problem with right now that less than half of our aircraft are ready to fly. I get it that we need to expand, you know, upgrade our military. I agree with a significant focus on national security, Donald. But when you talk about a $54 billion increase in defense spending, I have a concern. I have a real problem with that. So that gets to be of great concern. Now, Donald also spent time, Kurt, praising some folks who have given their lives for liberty. And you know what? Both sides of the aisle are happy about this, including me. Do you have the details on those to break down?
I know there was a lady, well, of course, you got Justice Alito's, you know, wife was there.
Yes.
But then you got a lady that had lost her son or her husband. I don't remember exactly
which ones they were. Yeah, it was Ryan Owens' widow. I thought you watched this and took notes, Curtis. Ryan Owens' widow.
Yeah.
That's what I did, Kurt. I watched the whole thing, then I wrote down notes, then I downloaded the video, and then I've got to take a bunch of work on this. But it's this widow of Navy SEAL Ryan Owens. And I thought it was appropriate. Van Jones, believe it or not, a well-known communist, in my humble opinion. Now, supposedly a communist in the past, but not anymore. But Van Jones claims this is the moment that Donald Trump actually became presidential, Kurt. Now, I think Van's right. Again, I'll even agree with the communists when they're right on occasion, Kurt. The principle's true. it's appropriate to thank his widow and to respect her for her loss. It's appropriate to honor this widow, Kurt. It was the most emotional moment from President Trump's address to Congress. He honored Karen Owens, Kurt. That's her name, Karen. And I commend him for this. And again, where do we find the line between showing appreciation, respect, honoring the dead, respecting the widows and those who are alive and have suffered great losses due to the defense of America, versus when do we start praising warlike people? There's a fine line there. Between you and me, when it comes to the spending, I think Donald crossed that line. Unlimited expenditures? I don't think so. But when he, you know, appropriately for the nation, thanks this widow, and appropriately lays out how grateful we are for service. Now, we can go into, you know, whether he gave his life appropriately for the right causes or whether we're being the world's cop. That's another discussion. But this gentleman, Ryan, was killed during a raid in Yemen in January. And Donald said, I just spoke to our great generals who reconfirmed that Ryan was a part of a highly successful raid that generated large amounts of vital intelligence that will lead to many more victories in the future against our enemies. Anyway, Donald received a standing ovation, or she did, I should say. They say he was a warrior, he was a hero. And this is what's weird. It's kind of weird and it's kind of not. But I guess Karen looked up at the stage and mouthed, I love you, baby, meaning to her husband. And I only say it was weird just because I'm not so sure it's the place. When do you cross the line between a little bit too much promotion for media's sake, for political purposes to get people on board, versus when is it really legitimately expressing gratitude and appreciation for service and lost life? I don't have all the answers, Kurt, but we need to draw a line there and be careful when we praise the arm of flesh and warlike mentality. We need to be very careful not to become a warlike people. At the same time, I do share that appreciation. And I think it was a great opportunity for Donald to bring people together. And if that's what we accomplish, it's worth it, every bit of it. Quick pause. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable Live. Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So Donald Trump in his speech to Congress, the American people got to see it as well. It's all over the internet. Everybody's talking about it. President Trump honors widow Karen Owens of Slain, Navy SEAL Ryan Owens. And I commend Donald for this, Kurt. And we got to make sure we don't cross that line and become a warlike people. But it is appropriate to recognize, people publicly, whether it was for the whole nation and for joint Congress, and, you know, whether it's that big of an issue or not, is not for me to say. But Donald really brought people together. Van Jones, well-known CNN liberal commentator, to say the least, has nothing but praise for Donald over this and says that's the moment Donald became presidential. And the liberals need be worried, because if Donald could find a way to do that time and time again, he'll be in the Oval Office for 8 years. That's Van Jones, Kurt. And the media is very, very friendly to this. For the most part, the media had praise for President Trump's first address to Congress. Big time, Kurt. They're all fawning over the Donald on this one. And to some degree, rightly so. Now, there's problems with Donald's speech that I have. But for the most part, it was a very, very unifying speech. For the most part, it was an America First speech, which I appreciate. It was a reject terrorism and criminal activity speech. It was a stand for the rule of law and reject illegality at every turn, the rule of law speech. It was a bring people together on solutions to bring back jobs to America and focus on really God, family, and country. He did a great job. And for the most part, the speech is very good, Kurt. But what do you think about the media praise for President Trump's first address to Congress, Kurt?
Well, typically that would worry me. But what they've got is, at least from what I can read in the whole report from the White House or the speech, there are bones basically for everybody.
That's right. And that's a concern.
Yes. And yet... I think if you're going to get certain things done, it seems like you've got to do that along the way to get the united, group of people going. For example, he says, my administration wants to work with members of both parties to make child care accessible and affordable.
Okay, well, I reject that, Kurt.
You know, at least if you're going to make that accessible and affordable by making sure the government's out of it and there's plenty of opportunities for the free enterprise system to provide that, then that's the way to do it.
I agree. The fly in the ointment is you can't make it, though. All you can do is say, I'm going to get out of the way and allow it to occur. But the idea that government can make that happen is the flaw. That's right. But it's not only the wording, it's the understanding of principles.
Yeah, of the way it is, the way they think it is. But the best way for all of those things to happen, all good choices and all those different things, is you have to have government out of the way. You have to have government only doing its proper role.
Amen.
One part says to invest in women's health and to promote clean air and clean water. How do you invest in women's health? You just make sure that the women have the money that they should have had, and that government takes, that small amount it's supposed to take to do only what it's supposed to do. You know, not
yeah,
the
but
other
the,
way around.
The fundamental flaw here is the idea that a president of the United States and government as a whole can make sure that women have. They can't make sure women have anything. What they can do is set an appropriate playing field, an appropriate freedom-based environment to foster those things by their non-action, by their appropriate action to honor contracts and very limited things to create the appropriate environment for the greatest economic engine on the planet to ever emerge. They could do that. But other than that, though, the president can't give women or make happen anything, Kurt. And that's you got to understand that, folks. Chris Wallace said it was the best speech I've ever heard any president give. Wow. The president of the United States delivering a powerful, important speech. CNN's Wolf Blitzer noted. His tone clearly different than the speech he gave at the inauguration, the president going through a whole range of issues. This was probably, without a doubt, one of his best speeches that I've ever heard, even adds Anderson Cooper. Kurt, they were fawning all over the president. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, it really worries me if Anderson Cooper was liking it. You know, all I can say is that's, you know.
And that's why I bring it up. There's very big concern when everybody loves it, when the socialists love it, when the people promoting democracy love it, when the, quote, great warriors, a warlike mentality, hawkish folks love it, and then the socialists love it. You kind of go, is there a concern? And I would say there it is. Now, Democrats, though, remaining partisan, Kurt, refused to applaud America putting its own citizens first, even. You want to comment on that?
So you're saying that the Democrats didn't like this whole idea of, you know, us having, like, for example, American steel in the things or, you know, making things here in America. They didn't like that part? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, they hated it. All the Republicans started clapping. The Democrats just, you know, rejected it, basically.
Maybe they just don't understand the principle that, you know, well, although I can tell you this, is that so many times that plantation idea has gone, you know, deep in the, I wouldn't just say the Democratic Party, but, you know, those ones who want to say, look what I gave you. Look what I'm offering. So you give me your votes. What really needs to happen is the government needs to free them from the government plantation by simply taking away those, you know, all those ties to government. In other words, the food stamps, the, you know, all the give me's that come from government. Let the people, by having their own jobs and doing, you know, having an economy that works the way it should, they can buy those things for themselves instead of, you know, have government be the giver of all good things.
Amen. And that's exactly why I focus on this, Kurt. You're right as rain. It was very partisan, though. Republicans immediately stood, gave a standing ovation to Trump's call to put America first, but the Democrats, zero support. Now, GOP lawmakers are doubling down and saying, we praise Trump's speech, and we're ready to get to work. What do you think of that, Kurt?
I wish they would all get to work, you know, instead of doing the silence of the lambs Congress. But, you know, I don't remember ever a president mentioning homeschooling before. In the paragraph that I can see about education, it says, but to achieve this future, we must enrich the mind and the souls of every American child. Education is the civil rights issue of our time. I don't know. Anyway, there was applause after that. It says, I am calling upon members of both parties to pass an education bill that funds school choice for disadvantaged youth, including millions of African American and Latino children. These families should be free to choose the public, private, charter, magnet, religious, or homeschool that is right for them.
And by the way, Donald gets nothing but praise for talking about, you know, free choice, talking about opportunities for schooling, mentioning homeschooling as a legitimate option, In my opinion, it shows Donald's really for, you know what, agency. People can choose the education they think best. The only concern I have is he said he wanted to make it to where they can throw government dollars at it, but that's a concern.
Yeah, and it looked like it only had the disadvantaged youth, you know. So, I mean, every person should be able to choose where they want to go, shouldn't they?
Right. Oh, absolutely. However, I'm not really for government dollars to do it. Now, Maureen Scalia, Antonin Scalia's widow or, you know, wife, was honored, with rightfully so, by the way, gets standing ovation as Trump basically thanks Scalia for his service. Again, I support this, Kurt. We don't want to make this guy on the Supreme Court, you know, bigger than life, but there is honor for service, Kurt. What do you think of that?
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, pointing out the fact that the, I mean, treating the widow properly and all that is, you know, I mean, all of that's really good, I think, you know.
Anyway, he talked about from my list of judges, and he dovetailed this in wisely to saying we got to get Mr. Gorsuch the advice
confirmed. Yeah, good point.
To the highest court in the land. And the reason I hesitate a little bit and add that advice and consent and confirmed is because that's what it takes, folks. Don't forget that. It's not just about the Donald throwing up whatever he wants and confirming. It's about the advice and consent and working through the Senate side of things. It's an important check and balance. Now, it's been violated for political purposes many times recently. That's another discussion. But I'm telling you that Donald Trump says, I am asking the Senate to confirm Gorsuch ASAP. I'm asking the Senate to swiftly approve his nomination. That's important, Kurt, because, again, that's an initiative that Donald's right on. That's the things; those are the things that he ought to be focusing on Congress and using his speech to do. Is like, hey, guys, I am asking the Senate to swiftly approve his nomination. Amen to that. All right, hour one of the can, hour two coming up. We have a lot more of the speech from Donald Trump to break down for you, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt wisely brought it up, though, and we'll talk about this in more detail. You know, Donald basically gave threw a bone to everybody. Is that okay? Is that good? Not at the expense of the principles of liberty. Never. Liberty Roundtable Live, hour one of the can, two coming up. LibertyNewsRadio.com. This nation shall endure.